It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we meet a Wisconsin author who brings to life the world of high-stakes online computer gaming.
First, weeks before midterm elections, former Secretary of Defense and CIA Director Leon Panetta has published a memoir critical of his former boss, President Obama. He says the president made three major mistakes: not negotiating a residual force in Iraq, not arming Syrian rebels in 2012, and failing to respond when Syrian President Assad used chemical weapons.
Leon Panetta was the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Director of the CIA, Clinton White House Chief of Staff, and U.S. Representative from California for 16 years. His new memoir is Worthy Fights. Secretary Panetta, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be with you.
Well, here's some of your words. This town, meaning Washington, has been governing by crisis after crisis after crisis. Is there a structural problem, do you think, with our political system?
Well, you know, I said, we govern by leadership or crisis. And obviously, if leadership is there and willing to take the risks associated with leadership, then I think we can avoid crisis. But if leadership isn't there, then obviously what we do is we govern largely by crisis. And that's what's happening now. Now, you know, I think the real question is it doable for, you know, those that we have elected as leaders in this country to be able to come together and take the risks associated with leadership to do what's right? Or, you know, are they going to stand back and obviously be part of the gridlock and the stalemate that consumes Washington right now? And, I guess my prayer is that that ultimately there will be those who will step forward and say, you know, we can't afford to govern this way. The country can't afford to govern by crisis. We have to deal with the challenges that face the United States of America.
Well, looking at President Obama's leadership style, you praise him in some ways, but you're critical in others. You say he's in part discouraged by the way the political process works. You also accuse him of a lack of passion, a lack of pushing issues. Is this something about President Obama, or is it the system that he finds himself in?
No, I think we are living at a time when this is a rough time to be president of the United States. It's a rough time for that matter to be in the leadership or in the Congress, largely because there, you know, is a growing group of members, so-called Tea Party members, whose sole goal is to shut government down, to prevent government from doing what it needs to do to serve the country. And so there's a built-in resistance there, you know, that obviously creates some fundamental barriers to the ability to get things done. Having said that, I'm just a believer that, you know, having had to deal with some tough members during the time that I was in Congress and in the executive branch, that you cannot give up, that you got to keep fighting. You've got to keep pushing the system. You got to keep trying to be able to work with those who are willing. I guess what I'm urging both sides to do now is not to give up. There are too many important issues that are not being dealt with, related to the budget, related to immigration reform, related to infrastructure funding, related to energy, related to jobs and tax reform. I mean, these are all important issues for the country that need to be addressed. We cannot have another two and a half years of stalemate. It'll weaken this country.
Well, given that there's a divided Congress now, potentially Republican Senate and House come next year, what specifically can the president do to make headway with Republicans on any of those issues you mentioned, immigration reform, tax reform, infrastructure funding, you name it?
Well, I think he's got to he cannot just simply allow this stalemate and this gridlock to prevail, which means you got to engage. You got to get in the ring and try to see if he can work, with the leadership, regardless of who takes over power in the Senate or the House, to work with the leadership, to work with members, to try to develop the kind of compromises that can try to resolve some of these issues. I mean, you know, we with a little work, I believe we can pass immigration reform. I think, both parties, members of both parties are close to dealing with something like that. Infrastructure. There's a lot of support for infrastructure funding. I think the need is to sit down and try to, get a piece of legislation that both can support to move it forward. I think the same thing is true on trade. You can get a bipartisan group to agree that we pass fast-track legislation to be able to put in place some of the trade agreements that are important for our economy. I think the same thing is true for tax reform. So, it's not easy, but we cannot just simply stand back and allow gridlock to control this country.
Let's move into your brief running the Defense Department, previously the CIA. In your book, you are critical of some of the president's actions related to Iraq and Syria. Maybe we can get into that. But right now, today, do you agree with the president on his current plan of airstrikes against ISIS in Iraq and Syria and supporting moderates in Syria, the Iraqi government, Kurdish and Shia militia in Iraq?
I do. I think the president's making the right decision to conduct this war against ISIS, and I think he's taking the right steps to try to stem this terrible tide that endangers Iraq and Syria and parts of the Middle East, not to mention threatens our own country. So, the combination of putting in place counterterrorism operations, which is something we know how to do and do well, combined with some of our troops on the ground to help train and embed with the Iraqi forces to get them so that they will go in and try to obtain the territory that's been lost to ISIS. The use of airstrikes, is certainly helping to block some of the efforts of ISIS to gain territory, and then combine that with a coalition that's been established of these moderate Arab countries along with others. I think that represents the right steps to take. Now, this is going to take a long time. This is not going to be something that we're going to be able to deal with in a short period of time. It's going to take a great deal of effort. It's going to take a lot of patience. It's going to take a lot of determination. This country is probably going to be in a sustained war against terrorism for a number of years. So I hope the president and the Congress and the country are unified behind that effort to try to protect the United States.
Looking at our partners on the ground in both of those countries, the Iraqi army, the officers ran on first contact with ISIS. We have very uncertain partners on the Syrian side. The Turkish army apparently isn't going to get involved. Is it realistic to think we can beat ISIS without Western troops, maybe specifically American troops, directly on the ground in combat?
Well, I'm confident in our military leadership their ability to take on this enemy. As General Dempsey himself has said, it's going to take boots on the ground, but it doesn't have to be United States boots on the ground. We can work with the Iraqi forces to develop their capabilities and make them competent to be able to regain the territory that's been lost. I'm a lot more confident about our ability to work in Iraq with the security force, with the government, using airstrikes, using every aspect of our capability to be able to push ISIS back. The tougher challenge, obviously, is Syria because it is chaotic. And the real question there is how do we identify elements of the opposition that we can train and arm so that they can represent the boots on the ground that we need in order to deal with ISIS in Syria? I think that's going to be a much tougher task. But, I think that we have to rely on the advice of our military leaders and that the president needs to be open to listening to them to be able to adjust our policy and our strategy when necessary in order to deal with ISIS.
We're speaking with former U.S. Secretary of Defense and CIA Director Leon Panetta about his new memoir, Worthy Fights. We're back with former U.S. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. His new memoir is called Worthy Fights. We continue our conversation now about counterterrorism. Today we're talking about ISIS. Not long ago, it was al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and then all over the world in different places, the Taliban. We've been in Somalia, Yemen. We're playing whack-a-mole here with terrorist groups around the world. Yeah. Is there something more fundamentally big picture that we can do to prevent the next crisis instead of reacting to it?
Well, that's a very good question, and that's something that I think we do need to address, because I view what we're dealing with ISIS as very much a part of a larger continuum from 9/11. 9/11, we were attacked by al-Qaeda. We went to war against terrorism as a result of that attack. And frankly, you know, we made great progress at being able to go after their core leadership and damage their ability to be able to, again, plan another 9/11 type attack. But we're now dealing with terrorism having metastasized to ISIS and Boko Haram and al-Shabaab and throughout North Africa. I really do think we need a broad strategy against terrorism that largely relies on our counterterrorism capabilities. We have developed very good counterterrorism capabilities. What do I mean by that? The ability to identify the leadership of these groups, the ability to target that leadership, the ability to go after them in an effective way. We know how to do this, but we're going to have to do it not just against ISIS. We're going to have to do it against these other terrorist elements that can ultimately also represent a threat to our country.
Let's delve into that a bit. You've talked in favor of drone strikes in your book, but is that, in a sense, just creating the next generation of terrorists when countries see themselves as powerless, their sovereignty means nothing, civilian casualties along with these targeted strikes? Doesn't that have a payback in the next crisis and the next group of terrorists we have to deal with?
Well, I think what you've raised is are issues related to the comprehensive strategy that we developed to confront terrorism. And you're right. We can develop a strong military element to that strategy, and we can go after, those who would attack our country. That has to be part of the strategy. But we also have to make a very important part of the strategy: how do we deal with the cultural aspects, with the religious aspects, with the economic aspects of that part of the world that drives young people to engage in jihad. And that has always been a tougher task. But I also don't think that it's something we should give up on. The fact is, I've seen this, the Saudis have been working at trying to provide that kind of education system that will reach out to young people. I've seen it in the UAE. They too have developed that kind of aspect. I mean, we can learn from them. What are the steps necessary to try to address the very issues that inspire extremism in that part of the world? That has to be part of our strategy in confronting terrorism.
Well, along those lines, how do we deploy what's often called soft power, non-military power, non-intelligence power, in stemming anti-Western sentiment across the Muslim world?
Well, that's a challenge that I think the State Department, AID, other elements of our foreign policy have to engage in. What they need to do is to develop a strategy of how do we assist those countries that are willing, and I think in the end we have to be dealing with countries that are willing to work with us to be able to address this issue and try to help them in that effort. What are those steps that we can do to try to assist them in ensuring that that young people get the opportunities that they need? This is going to take a long time. There's going to be a need for some changes in some of these countries to be able to open it up so that young people have a greater say about their future. It's going to take changes in terms of economic opportunity and jobs and the ability to be able to develop the kind of security that they need for themselves and their family. The education system is going to have to be opened up so that everybody benefits, you know, from educational opportunity. I mean, those are big steps, and it's going to take time, but it has to be part of the effort if we're ever going to be able to succeed in being able to win against terrorism.
Turning to your tenure at the CIA, first of all, one political observer said, where'd that come from when you were offered that job? That was your wife. Why Leon Panetta, a guy known for budgets and domestic policy, in charge of the CIA?
Yeah, no, it was a surprise to me, too, if you want to know the truth. And I think when the president called, you know, I raised the question, why me? And he said the main reason was because he believed I could help restore the credibility of the CIA, which had been badly damaged because of, you know, enhanced interrogation techniques. They had a bad relationship on the Hill. They just were having a very difficult time.
In your view, you reviewed Bush-era CIA interrogation practices before your tenure at the CIA. Did the United States, via the CIA, practice torture against detainees?
I've always felt that that certainly some of those enhanced interrogation techniques, like waterboarding, you know, were the equivalent of torture, and for that reason, I opposed them, and was glad when the president issued his executive order eliminating the use of those enhanced techniques. I think that was the right thing to do. I think, you know, in many ways they violated the standards of this country, our values as a people. And besides that, I think, you know, in talking to the FBI director and others, there was really a feeling that we really don't have to resort to techniques like that in order to get the information we need to help our intelligence. So I'm glad we got rid of those techniques, and I'm glad that we now pursue interrogation pursuant to our values as a country.
What specifically had we done before then that we no longer do now when it comes to this enhanced interrogation?
Well, you know, there were a number of techniques that were involved, and as we all know, the primary one was obviously waterboarding, but you know, there were other techniques that were used that, you know, that used physical means to cause pain and get people to be able to talk. And, you know, as I said, I understand, you know, the concern at the time. I mean, sometimes we all forget what happened in the days following 9/11 when people were panicked about what else al-Qaeda would do. Would they bring a nuclear weapon into this country? Would they try to, you know, blow people up again in Washington or New York or elsewhere? And so there was a real kind of panic about, you know, what are they going to do next? And so I can understand, you know, the concern about how do we get intelligence? And I think that, you know, that concern obviously is what bred some of these techniques. But, you know, as always, whether it's World War II with the Japanese or whether it's dealing with al-Qaeda after 9/11, I think, you know, we also have fundamental values as a people pursuant to our Constitution. And I think I do not think we have to choose between our security and our freedom. I really don't. And hopefully we're now back in the right position.
Getting to the response to your new book, there's been some anger among Democrats, including Vice President Biden in a veiled comment, criticizing you for publishing this book while the president is still in office before midterm elections, maybe causing damage to the presidency. How do you react to that?
I think that, you know, in our country, you can't put history on hold. You can't put you know, debating the concerns about where this country is going for the future on hold. I think it's important to raise these issues. I think it's important for the administration to raise these issues, and I think it's important for the country to raise these issues.
Looking to the future, you've said that you think Hillary Clinton would make a great president. supposing that there is a new Clinton administration, would you see a role for Leon Panetta in it? What would you want that role to be?
No, not at all. You know, I've spent almost 50 years in public life. I've enjoyed the challenges that I took on, as I've explained in the book. But I'm back home in Carmel Valley, and with my family, and with my dog Bravo, and with my grandchildren, and I'm thoroughly enjoying the opportunity to be with them. And you know, of course, you know, I'm always available to try to help people. You know, in terms of you know, my thoughts and my experience, but as I've said to people, I'm very content now working in my walnut orchard and dealing with a different set of nuts.
Secretary Panetta, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was former U.S. Secretary of Defense and CIA Director Leon Panetta talking about his new memoir, Worthy Fights.